slam. I'm 5'9", and you can kind of teach that. We're back. Brian's back for another week, just like we promised.
Hi, guys.
Our resident wrestling historian.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Josh is here.
Hello.
No April again.
No.
She's being busy being a mommy.
It's a hard job.
It's a full-time job is what that is.
It's very underappreciated and very undervalued.
True that. So, guess who's got a story this week? That'd be me.
Do you?
I do have a story.
Pray tell. Would you like to share it with the group?
I probably should do that. It's the theme of the podcast.
That's why we're here.
So what I've got is, do you guys know who Haku is?
Oh, King Haku.
God bless you.
Meng.
I do. Ming. Actually, in his early Not wrestling Ming. Days, he was known as King Tonga.
He was. That's just true. Was. So his real name is Tonga Fifita. 6'1", 275 pounds. Known as Ming and Haku. Ming in WCW, Haku in WWF. Also considered probably the biggest badass wrestling history.
One of the toughest sons of bitches you ever run into or would come down the pike, according to Gorilla.
Oh, I miss Gorilla.
I do.
You can catch those on that network, by the way. Yes, if you can.
For $9.99.
For $9.99. We don't get any money from WWE, but I still recommend the network.
For $10, I was the most skeptical dude in the history of the planet until I actually got it, and now I'm so glad that I did. It's unbelievable because their library of stuff that they have.
Yes.
It's just, it's incredible.
Especially, I mean, sorry.
No, you're fine, please.
Especially with the heavily rumored purchase by Vincent McMahon of TNA.
I hope so.
He's been in a lot of talks with Dixie Carter as of late.
She just appeared on the Kurt Angle special they did.
She might. It's rumored that she might be on Raw.
I was.
What?
I was under the impression, not to step on toes, I was under the impression that Billy Corgan was the lead guy with TNA now, and he had purchased the company from the Carters and their multimedia conglomerate money backing machine.
The world is a vampire named... Oh, what the hell is that guy's name?
Billy Corgan?
No. The Brood. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
Guy actually...
Gangrel.
Sounds like a disease and get your foot cut off.
Gangrel, it's kind of funny and it's kind of ironic how he was like the lead guy that they were pushing with him, yeah. Edge, and Christian. Well, we know how that turned out.
Very well for Edge and Christian.
Correct.
Well, anyways, back to Tonga.
Ming. Haku.
I have a bunch of stories that corroborate. Actually, these stories are kind of tell what a badass he is, but Josh was telling me before we went on that you had heard about his treatment of newer wrestlers.
Yeah, apparently when new guys would come into the WWF, he actually was like a very generous guy to the newbies. He would take them under his wing. He would kind of do extra training with them. And from what I understand, he would take these guys out for dinner, and he would always flip the bill. Because he understood what it was like to be brand new, and let's face it, you're probably not making that much money, and you're going to be so green, everyone's going to be picking on you and whatnot. But yeah. he would back them up.
That's the guy you want in your corner.
Kind of be a father figure to the new kids on the block. You know what? What a sweetie.
His thought was, if I do this for you, you're going to turn around and do it for others.
Correct.
Well, here's a story from Kevin Sullivan. Was a wrestler and booker in WCW. He was a little fire plug of a dude.
He's.
And in WCW, he traveled with Ming quite often. And when they were on the road, here's a story told about the time the both of them went to a tavern to grab a few beers before heading to their hotel. Which sounds like our podcast. Right there.
Local watering hole.
Yeah. According to Sullivan, it was obvious that he and Ming weren't locals.
Really?
What?
You're kidding.
He doesn't look American?
Davenport, Iowa. Here we come.
So when they walked into the bar, a guy playing pool called Ming a horrible derogatory racial slur.
this is going to end up bad.
Kevin Sullivan, quote, "The next thing I know is that man goozles the guy like Mr. Spock." I don't know what goozles is. Sullivan said, "It was fast and furious. He then grabbed another guy who tried to get involved and knocked him unconscious. After that, things then got crazy."
As if it wasn't already.
Because that's like really lame that happens in a bar.
"Mang bit through the guy's shirt like a wolf, bit a chunk out of the guy's back, and then spit it on the floor and said, I think it's time we go."
What?
Sullivan said that as they drove from the bar, he saw police cars pulling into the parking lot, but authorities didn't pursue them and no charges were ever filed.
Guy's got a hell of a story now. Like, he'd lift up his shirt and like, "You see that scar there?
Right. Bing gave me this."
In an interview with James Gutman of World Wrestling Insanity, Meng discussed how he wrestled to support his family and not for the fame or the popularity. And that's why he took particular offense when anyone would call wrestling fake.
Ooh.
Kayfabe days, baby.
Ooh.
"When I walk in and you tell me it's fake, I'll show you how fake the business is. Mm-hmm. Whether I take your teeth out or your eyeballs or whatever it was in those days, maybe they're going to kick my butt around, but watch it. I'm coming back and finding you. But those were those days. I'm glad nobody picked up a gun and shot my ass." Mm-hmm. "But in those days, that's how it was, James. It's my love for the business."
That's actually, I've heard a lot of people say that's one of the most derogatory things you could say to a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
Which is...
make fun of their heritage.
Definitely. Hogan said it best, more than... because we all know this...
Wasn't that his TV show?
Yeah, it was.
Hogan knows best.
Apparently not the way he...
We put that right up there with Chrisley.
Hogan definitely did not know best when cameras were rolling.
Yep.
But he said it best that... the stories are fake. The hits, not so much. Yeah. The bumps are very real.
Like I said, I think we've brought it up on the show that I want to do a podcast where I take a chop.
So, anybody listening, if anybody knows...
No, I mean, I'll lay it into you.
Oh, okay. I want to...
We would love to have
somebody... Not a pork chop, Ryan.
Right.
We would love to have somebody who is a professional wrestler...
Oh, God.
...come on to the show.
Oh, shit.
Tell us their stories, and... you know what? I'll take one, too.
All right.
I actually trained for about 4 months.
Did you really? Wow.
Summer after I graduated high school. A little internet. May I go off on a tangent?
No, that's what the show is all about.
With your blessing?
Go for it.
Year I graduated high school, I spent the summer down in Dallas. I grew up in Ludington, went down to Dallas and spent the summer with my aunt, my uncle, and my two cousins. I lived in a town called Garland.
I've heard of it.
Anyhow, long story short, I actually attended a wrestling camp put on by the Von Erichs.
Wow!
For about 2.5 months, I showed up and they beat the living hell out of me, and I met some really cool people. Got to attend the matches when they used to wrestle down in the Sportatorium in Dallas. The Will Rogers Coliseum in Fort Worth when they were putting on weekly shows.
Wow.
I met them all. I met the Ultimate Warrior when he was known as the Dingo Warrior coming up when he would wrestle. When he would wrestle alongside, and I met them all. I met Bruiser Brody. I met the Von Erichs. I met all of them, and it was really a really cool experience. Could I go out and put on a technical show of the likes of... AJ Styles? No. Could I defend myself in a fight and really fuck somebody up if I needed to by pulling from my bank of what these guys do? Yep. A lot of shit that you'd go to jail for in a heartbeat. Let me tell you, if you really tried getting away with it on other people.
Now, I've heard...
It was a really cool experience.
No kidding.
I'm curious, because I've heard a lot of people talk about this when they first start doing professional wrestling. Hitting the ropes.
Yes.
I've heard painful. That it hurts. Is extremely painful. You almost have to build a back callus before you can do it.
You do.
Like, and make it look good.
Right. That's very true. The ropes themselves are basically woven stainless steel with rubber, vinyl, or nylon coating that have a lot of give. And what they make you do is basic they try to find out what your condition level is before they actually have you performing in ring moves. They want to know what your stamina is like. If you're going to blow up 5 minutes in, you know, running around doing all this stuff, they have you hitting ropes, they have you falling, they have you, you know, just taking bumps on every single part of your body that you could possibly think of. Very nice. I think about a B plus, maybe chunks, maybe A minus. But it's very, very intense. If you think that you're going to go to a wrestling camp and you're immediately going to end up in a ring on TV in a month, you are sadly mistaken, because 80% of these guys don't make it through all the bullshit they put them through when they're green and they're just starting out. So
how was that first back bump?
Hurt.
Yeah,
it hurt. It wasn't fun. hitting the ropes definitely was much, much, much more painful than people could actually imagine, because they'll have you crisscross 35, 40 times in a row. And then after that 35 or 40th time, when your ribs are to the point where they feel like they're going to break, and then they make you take a back bump and they make you spread eagle onto the mat. Yeah, that's kind of painful. And then 2 days later, you're looking at yourself after you're getting out of the shower in the mirror, and your whole side from your armpit all the way down to your waist is black and blue. Yeah, you've known that you've got, and you're right. You've got to build up a tolerance to it. You almost have to. You hit the rope so many times, your back, you'll just have back issues for the rest of your life, because you'll have calcification, you'll have everything up. Ask Flair. Flair has had 4 or 5 different back surgeries alone just to have calcium deposits removed from his bones and his muscles from hitting the rope so many times in his career. So it's very, very real, no doubt about it.
The only thing worse than that is all the divorces he's had.
Correct.
The first human being to divorce himself to death.
How much hot poon has that guy had in his life?
Goodness. Space Mountain was real. Well, here Meng confirms one of the most outrageous tales about him. And it was true. Yeah, it was in a Baltimore airport. There was a hotel there. We were staying at another hotel, the Marriott or something. There was another hotel there, though. It was hopping at the time. The music was playing and it was packed. It was during the week, I believe. Me and Siva Afi went over there, and there were lots of baby faces there at the bar. So we went and sat in the other corner away from them, maintaining kayfabe. And when they were ready to close, we had a few drinks, and on our way out, there were 5 guys just sitting there. Of course, the same thing came out, the fake stuff. Hey, you guys are with those guys, wrestlers, the fake wrestlers on TV, you know, stuff like that. I said, yeah, I'll show you. And I reached over without thinking. There are 4 other guys there. I grabbed his face and bit his nose off.
Whoa!
Then the fight started. Me and Siva kind of cleaned house there and left. I'll never forget it.
Wow.
He bit a human being's nose off.
Must be rubbery.
Yeah, I would think so.
What if he had a cold and like was just packed with boogers?
Well, that's dipping sauce.
Right.
Aww.
Can I get the mild, please?
This doesn't taste like Bronco sauce.
No, like boogers and cum.
This is not. This doesn't go with the Bloomin' Onion. What the? Oh, shit.
Perry Saturn. During his U-Shoot interview, Perry Saturn was asked about his time in WCW and the toughness of the guys backstage. He was given the following list of the guys with the strongest reputations of being tough and asked who would win in a fight between them all. The Barbarian, Meng, Scott Norton, who was a monster of a human being, Jim Duggan, who probably could out-crazy them all, yeah. Fit Finley, Scott Steiner, Rick Steiner, and himself.
Wow.
He responded, Tonga. Nobody else would even stand a chance. Not even a question. He could kill everyone without blinking, and there's nothing anyone could do about that.
Wow.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, said that one time they were in a rough part of St. Louis for a show. Isn't that kind of
all isn't of that St. like all of St. Louis? The entire state of
Missouri.
It's either rednecks or thugs, one of the two.
Everyone had been drinking, and a large fight broke out, which resulted in the police showing up. Meng had had a few drinks, but saw the fight break out, so he tried to break it up. In the process, the police thought he was part of the fight and maced him and then handcuffed him.
Oh, boy.
He said that Meng was cuffed behind his back, looked at the police, stared him in the eye, and broke the handcuffs.
Oh, man.
I don't know whether to marvel at that as being straight shoot or to roll my eyes and say it's impossible. I have a tendency to believe that that's a pretty impressive feat, and I believe that it happened.
If there was someone to do it, it'd be him.
And I believe correct. I would be running for my cruiser.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Saw nothing. Nothing happened there, Chief.
Okay, people, nothing to see here. Keep passing by. Thank you.
One of my favorite storytellers, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
In his shoot interview, Heenan talked extensively about how Meng and referred to him as the toughest man, not just wrestler, he's ever met in his life. The craziest story he shared was in regards to a bar fight. Reclaimed Meng took two of his fingers on his right hand, his index and his trigger finger.
These two.
Maybe. Reached into the guy's mouth and broke off the guy's bottom teeth with his bare hands.
Oh. Ow.
Heenan said that if he had been there to see it himself, he would never have believed it. After all the other stories have been confirmed, it doesn't seem that unbelievable at all. Heenan was also close friends with Andre the Giant and claimed that the only two men in the world that Andre feared were Meng and Harley Race.
Wow.
Harley Race was a badass, too.
I didn't know. I knew Harley was tough, but I didn't know Harley as a badass.
Did you hear the story about CM Punk at Harley Race's birthday party?
Did not.
CM Punk
would you care to share?
Yeah. CM Punk is a known straight-edge guy. No drugs, no alcohol.
Nothing.
Well, Harley Race poured out shots for everybody. Mm-hmm. And out of respect to Harley Race, CM Punk took his first shot.
Took a shot?
Yep.
Wow.
When in Rome.
Yeah. Rick Steiner. Here's his story. The Steiner brothers were known for being tough guys. They were legitimate amateur wrestlers at the University of Michigan.
Great
these guys.
Amateur careers.
Amazing amateur careers, like Brian was saying. So when a man is feared by two of the hardest guys in the sport, you know, they've seen some crazy things. In an interview, Steiner talked about the time Meng fought off 8 police officers. They shot him with mace, and he closed his eyes and sucked it in, opened his eyes, and stared him right in the eyes. He just opened his mouth and took a deep breath. I mean, some of the stuff he did was like, what the hell? Scotty and I always thought we were tough guys, but that was before we met Meng.
Damn.
Wow.
Have you ever been pepper sprayed?
No.
It fucking hurts. No. I've never. It takes your breath away. So for him to breathe it in and just stare down the police officers, that is insane.
I've taken a taser.
Have you?
But I've not been pepper sprayed. I don't know which one. Let me tell you, a taser's pretty brutal.
Pretty brutal, I would imagine.
Pepper spray, I got to think you'd just be, not only would it be just sting, but you get that stuff into your lungs and into your nostrils. It's, oh, my goodness.
Just, and then the snot and the water, just it's brutal.
You're just a mess.
Arn Anderson. In his biography, Arn Anderson, Forever, Anderson claims that there are 3 types of men in the world. There are tough men, there are wrestling tough men, and then there's Meng. He was in a completely different category than anyone else on the planet. And if you want to know about tough, the very first episode we did was Arn Anderson and Sid Vicious's scissor fight
in London.
Yep.
Or so, England. I don't know if it was exactly London.
I think it was a European tour, but
I would swear by it. It was England, at least, at the very least.
So Arn Anderson is no pushover himself.
No.
Anderson recalls one instance where a large cowboy. My goodness, Larry.
Carboy?
A like carboy.
Like the cowboy that went after Randy Savage in the Waffle House?
In the Waffle House? No. A large cowboy was arguing with Meng, and he pushed the cowboy through 2 different sets of doors using one hand. Just stiff-armed him through 2 doors. Mm. Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Oh, brother.
One of the most famous Meng stories. Remember when he was the Zodiac?
Yes.
What the hell?
Brother Bruta. The man without a face or a career or a name or whatever the hell.
Well, yeah, he lost that face in that boating accident.
Right.
One of the most famous Meng stories happened during his time as Haku in the WWF. Beefcake had gone to management and complained that Meng slapped him too hard during their match.
Oh, yeah.
When Meng found out, he walked straight to Beefcake's locker room and grabbed him out of the shower. Mm. That's okay.
By the joint?
I don't know. But to be grabbed buck naked in a shower has got to be one of the most rattling things you could go through.
Was Pat Patterson there?
Me next. Come on.
So when he grabbed him, Patterson jumped up off of his knees. No, just kidding. Yeah, he grabbed him out of the shower. What's going on?
That's great.
He grabbed him out of the shower. He started choking him and lifted him 2 feet in the air while everyone else looked on because they were too scared to step in and break it up.
What do you think he'd have done if, like, in his fear of what's going on, he just, like, pissed on him?
Oh, that would have been a bad idea. I thought maybe we were going to say he got a fear boner.
Or, like, took a shit right there in the shower. Eric. Bill Pullman comes running in. I can beat that!
Bill Pullman.
Or Brian Pillman.
Bill Pullian. Doesn't he own, like, a team?
Yeah, he does.
Eric Bischoff.
Damn you, Shorts Brewing Company.
Damn you to hell.
God bless you, Shorts Brewing Company. Right. Please send us free beer. Mm-hmm. There are so many stories about Meng fighting with other wrestlers, but that doesn't mean management wasn't just as scared of him. Former head of WCW, Eric Bischoff, has said numerous times that Meng was never fired from WCW because no one was brave enough to do it. On one particular day, Bischoff and Greg Gagne walked into the locker room and interrupted a conversation between Meng and Chris Candido. It was a conversation between Meng, Chris Candido, Chris Jericho, and Tammy Sitch. Meng immediately looked at the pair of execs and said, "Hey, apologize to my friends. I'm talking to them." According to Candido, the entire room went silent and everyone just froze. It was then that he realized the stories about Meng weren't just legends. Bischoff and Gagne quickly apologized to them and waited for the conversation to finish before speaking with Meng.
Smart.
That's life-saving. Jesse Barr, who I believe was...
Jimmy Jack Funk.
Oh, is that who? Okay.
He was the third Funk brother back in the WWF, back in the mid-80s. Jimmy Jack Funk.
I was trying to remember who he was. I thought maybe he had been Eddie Guerrero's tag team partner back in the day, but
that was Art Barr.
Art Barr. Okay, that's Art who I was Barr, thinking. Art Barr,
formerly known as Beetlejuice.
Back in tiny
the,
head?
Back in the Portland territories.
Art Barr? So kind of like what Sheamus and Cesaro now, they always come out, "We are the bar!" Actually, funny little... sorry, I'm going to just real quick point out something that I thought was hilarious for anybody that's an anime fan.
Oh, boy.
I've noticed that on the last, or at the Great Balls of Fire, that Sheamus and Cesaro kept doing the fusion thing from Dragon Ball, where they would kind of lean and put their fingers over, like pointing at each other.
That's the old NWO move.
Well,
The click actually would do that. Yeah.
I think Dragon Ball's is older. That
must have been where they got it from. Then,
yeah, it was like their little fusion thing because they're both geeks.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know that, there's a lot of people in the...
I didn't know that about wrestling. Sheamus. I knew that about Cesaro.
Oh, yeah. Sheamus, I mean, he was in the Ninja Turtles movie.
That's right, he was.
No way.
Yeah, I think it was Bebop.
Yeah, one of the... wasn't he the Rhino or whatever?
Bonertello?
Bonertello. Bonertell-all.
Hey!
No.
On a trip to Puerto Rico, Meng was walking with fellow wrestler James Barr when Barr decided to kick dirt onto a man who was digging ditches. Meng was upset by it and told Barr he shouldn't have done it. Well, Barr decided to get in Meng's face and argue with him, which turned out to be a bad idea.
Stupid.
Meng grabbed him and popped his eyeball out of the socket.
Holy shit balls!
Wow.
Some wrestlers claim he completely tore it out, but Bang said that it wasn't true. He just squeezed it out. Barr ended up getting fired over the incident. Because he ain't going to fire Mang over that.
Somebody asked Vader how that feels.
Oh, that... have you seen that?
Yes.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
That's not cool.
Trying to jam it back into his face.
Who was it he was wrestling when that happened to him?
Mankind. No. It was Stan Hansen.
Stan Hansen in Japan, I believe.
Yeah. Kevin Sullivan. Another story he has.
Damn, there's a lot of stories about this guy.
During Kevin Sullivan's numerous shoot interviews, he's spoken extensively on his time working with Meng. He claims that on one occasion, when Sullivan was the booker in WCW, he asked Meng to do something that wasn't major, but it wasn't completely the right thing to do. He said that Meng got a little upset, and it's the most scared Sullivan's ever been in his life, despite the fact that Meng wasn't even really that angry about it. Sullivan also used Meng to his advantage.
Oh boy.
He had to inform a few guys that they would be losing an upcoming match. Those wrestlers became upset and told Sullivan they refused to do the job. So Sullivan told him that instead of arguing, he would just go get Meng and have him take care of the situations. The guys immediately agreed to lose their match if he promised not to go get Meng. And finally, Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite heel interview.
This could be a good one.
Jake the Snake may have said it best during one of his shoot interviews. Quote, "If I had a gun and was sitting inside a tank with one shell left and Meng is 300 yards away, he's mine, right? Well, the first thing I'm going to do is jump out of that tank and shoot myself in the face because I don't want to wound that son of a bitch and have him pissed off at me."
Classic. That's great.
So, while being a nice guy and never starting anything here, not the guy to start something with, because he will fucking finish it. He broke someone's teeth off of his bare hand.
He stuck two fingers inside of a dude's mouth and busted off his teeth, let alone what he probably did to his jawline and his jawbone in the process of doing so.
Oh.
He bit a man's nose off.
That takes second place on the list of things.
And then grabbed Brutus the Barber by the cock and drug him out of the shower. Maybe. Who knows?
You know what? That's our version of the story.
In our version, he grabbed Pat Patterson by the back of the head and dragged Brutus the Barber.
Oh boy. Oh, that's funny. That's definitely the most entertaining version.
We'll go with that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so Meng not the man to be messed with.
That's probably not a bad thing, though, to have that reputation. Well, I mean, but to know that for someone to mention your name, people are going to be scared. Like, don't double cross this dude. He'd fuck you up.
Yeah. Have you ever either been in or been witness to a bar fight?
Yes.
Fucking frightening.
Yeah, they get pretty wild.
San Diego, California, I saw a bar fight that involved Navy men and Marines.
Ooh,
at the same time, wow. In the same bar. And that was... Have you seen the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
Yep.
You know the bar scene where it's like they go, all the football team shows up after Rodney Dangerfield's son and his buddy like go dump paint on these guys at like the anti-pep rally? You know the scene I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It looked exactly like that.
Wow. That's insane.
It was pretty chaotic. There were literally bodies flying through the air.
The only thing that can be scarier, and I don't know if you guys have seen a lot of these, but girl fights get vicious.
Yeah, there's no holds barred there.
Zero.
Literally anything goes.
Yep.
Well, stay safe, folks, at bars.
Pull hair, donkey punches, all of it. I mean, it's just... it's not pretty.
Hits her with the dirty Sanchez.
Yes,
throws a shovel at her head.
Gives her a boot right to the old hatchet wound, no. Folks.
Ain't no kids popping out of that.
No, we don't recover from that.
That's not good.
A boot to the coot.
When you go to the hospital and they pull you down your britches and it looks like you've had an axe fight with an open-faced roast beef sandwich.
You paint a picture, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Pluggerinos.
Well, if you like this, you can also find all sorts of crazy debauchery in the Conspiracy Therapy Podcast. And you can find that on Facebook, Twitter, and Podomatic. If you like video games, you can find that, the show Stiff Joystick Podcast, on Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
If you like baseball. History is found on the EFIS podcast, EFISpodcast.net.
I like baseball history.
Yeah, you should check it out then.
I should do that, definitely. That's at the top of my
priorities. It's a much cleaner version of this.
And it's not, because I try to tell people about the EFIS, it's not like you're just baseball stats, like, oh, this pitcher pitched this many pitches in this season. No, it's fun stories. It's like this.
But cleaner.
Very nice.
Unless it's Ty Cobb.
No coot poots.
Coot poots.
Coin that phrase, put it on a t-shirt, coffee mugs, and sell it. Oh.
That was a snort in stereo that you probably heard there back to back. I apologize.
That was an amazing queef into snort combination.
That was nice.
You only see that in the Olympics.
Nice. I did that for a Russian judge, and she actually gave me a perfect score one time. It was beautiful.
Or Charlie Sheen's apartment.
Oh,
you're kidding.
Oh, tiger's blood.
I have nothing to plug. I'm new here to this conglomeration of wit and knowledge, and would just like to once again offer my thanks for you guys having me on board. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Well, it's our honor. We'll have you in future, definitely for the SummerSlam.
I look forward to it.
You won't if you lose.
It's all part of the game.
You ever eaten oatmeal out of a bowling shoe? Well, you might just do that.
I've eaten a lot worse.
Ooh. And on that note,
ba-dum-bum.
This has been the Potty Slam. We'll see you in 1 week.
This has been a presentation of Beer City Media.